The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Good morning. How are you guys? It's good to be back. We just got back, a group of us from Student Life Camp, a bunch of our students and some adult leaders. If anybody you see wearing this bullseye-looking black dot shirt, we had a great time. A number of kids came to know Christ for the first time, so praise God for that. Hello? Yeah. And I want to say a personal thank you to those of you who made it possible. A number of our kids were not able to afford to go, and a lot of you contributed to help provide scholarships. So thank you so much. Camp is a great experience every year. We see lives transformed by that time being away. And I'm not just talking students. A lot of adults' lives are deeply touched as well. And it was the same this year. So thank you so much for enabling us to do this as a church and bring kids who can't normally afford to go. It was an awesome week. Also, we celebrate the return of our teams from Nicaragua this past week, as well as Jamaica. And for those of you that weren't here the first hour, we actually prayed over Meryl and as she gets ready to leave Tuesday for a two-week trip to Kenya. So be praying for Meryl as she's away. She's going to be working in some orphanages and some of the slums. She told me the area, and I already forgot the name, but just be praying. God knows where she's going. And so a lot of people on mission overseas as well as right here within the Beltway. So thank you for all you're doing to serve and help others serve as well. My name's John. I'm the pastor here at Hope Hill, and I want to welcome you if you're visiting with us. Let me pray for our Bible study, and we'll dive in. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for being a personal God. Thank you for being a God who has a name that we can learn about. We can learn your many names as described in Scripture that teach us the meaning of who you are, who your character is, and who we are. God, be with us as we look into your Scriptures this morning. Open our eyes and our hearts to hear your Holy Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen. Many times in our English versions of the Bible, we'll see the name God for God or the name Lord for God. And many times we don't understand the original name behind that. As that video kind of showed us, there are many names for God. Not that God is multiple personality disorder or anything like that. It's just there's names that he has, names of God. A couple weeks ago, we started off with the name Yahweh. If you look in Scripture, in the Old Testament, many times you'll just see either the word God or the word Lord. But sometimes in your Scriptures, you'll actually see L-O-R-D. Sometimes it's all caps. Whenever it appears all caps in our English translation, it actually is the word Yahweh, which we have conveniently translated into English, Jehovah. Many times, actually, the J should be pronounced as a Y, like in Spanish, right? Is that how they do it? She's nodding. I'm correct. So if you hear me say Jehovah instead of Jehovah, it's the same name, okay? So Jehovah is the name of God. When Moses approached God, God said, I'm going to send you back to my people. He was like, okay, well, who should I tell them sent me? He said, tell them I am has sent you. I am is the same name translated from Yahweh. 2 weeks ago, we saw Jesus get up in front of this crowd who were looking at him as, who is this guy? He was healing. He was forgiving sins. And they were like, only God can forgive sin. Who are you? And they talked about how this guy, their forefather, Abraham, knew God. And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And those were fighting words because I am was the name that only God could have. And for someone to say, that's my name, you were saying you were God. And that's, in fact, what Jesus was doing. Jesus is God in flesh. He is the great I am. Today we're going to look at another name. The name is Jehovah Rohi. And it means the Lord, that same Yahweh. Rohi means our shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. How many of you have heard the 23rd Psalm? How many of you think you know pretty much most of it? We're going to look at that psalm today, the 23rd Psalm, to see the deep richness of who God is in this name. God is not just some distant, far-removed God. He's a God who cares about the intimate details of our life, and He wants to be involved in our life. He wants us to know His name because He knows your name. He knows each and every one of us. The Bible says He knows the numbers of the hairs on your head, and some of you, like Ryan, don't have too many to count, but God knows them all, okay? God knows you by name. He cares for you. He loves you. The Lord is our shepherd. Isaiah 40:11 says this, and these words are so awesome because they communicate the love of a shepherd. The words are, the Lord tends His flock. Tends, He cares, He takes care of. He tends His flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in His arms and He carries them close to His what? His heart. He loves His sheep. God loves us, His sheep. How many of you have an animal that you've loved? How many of you have an animal you don't love? Don't answer that. Anyway, I remember as a 20-year-old kid, okay, I had the opportunity to work at a camp, a summer camp, for a whole summer. And at this camp, the very first week, I remember coming out of the cafeteria, and as I walked out of the door of the cafeteria, right, there were hedges here, and I heard this loud chirping, okay? It was definitely a bird of some kind. And it kind of caught me off guard because it was loud, it was chaotic, and it was close. So it kind of made me step back, and I'm looking at this bush, and I figure, oh, there must be a nest or something in there. So I start looking a little closer, didn't know what kind of bird, so I didn't want to get too close. It might be one of those attack killer birds, okay? And so I'm looking, and I notice under the bush, on the ground, was this bird, I guess. It looked like an alien. It didn't have any feathers. It was like a baby that had like fallen out of the nest. And I'm looking up and higher in the hedge, and I don't see a nest. So I'm like, how in the world did this bird get there? I remember growing up hearing that, you know, if a baby, what is a baby bird called? A birdie? Okay, so if a birdie fell out of a nest, okay? If a birdie fell out of a nest, I heard that the mother would like kind of abandon it, not care for it anymore. And I'm a grown man. I care for birds. Okay, so it was kind of odd. I went ahead and got a shoebox out of my cabin, and I put the bird in it. And I'm like, great, I have this bird. Somebody's got to care for it. And then I'm like, how do you care for a bird? And this camp was down by Alta Vista, Virginia, thriving metropolis of a town, 1,800 people. But they did have a pet store. Okay. So I went into the pet store and I explained the situation, and they gave me this tube of like bird food that you could give to little birds, and I, you know, fed it through like one of those mustard bottle type things, and what I noticed is that every time I had the bird in the box, if I set the box down and walked away, it would start chirping like crazy. So I like had to carry the box around everywhere I went, and this bird was calm. It was kind of weird but kind of cool. And the first night, oh my goodness, I set it on, I had it under a lamp so it would stay warm, and I went and got in bed, and chirp, 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 and I'm like, oh, what am I going to do? So I ended up sleeping with it, okay? Some of you are like, oh, some of you are like, that's gross. And so it's sleeping there, and it like sleeps, okay? After about a week, it got strong enough to hop out of the box. And I woke up, and the bird's not in the box. Instead, the bird's right here sleeping. I was like, this is weird. I'm falling in love with the bird, okay? After about 2 weeks, what was happening is the bird would, like, in the cabin, anywhere I'd go, the bird would, like, follow me. And if I'd stop, the bird would, like, stop in between my 2 feet or get up on my foot and just sit there. I was like, this is crazy. This is kind of cool. And I'm walking around and he's following me. And finally, I get the nerve up. Let's go outside and see what happens. So I'm walking outside, and all the kids at camp were like, that's the coolest counselor. He has a bird and it's following him. Everywhere I went, the bird would follow me. And when I'd stop, it would just stop right between my feet. Well, it was pretty cool. A guy showed up at camp and said, I'm a hunter. I think that's a quail, so we named him Dan. So Dan continues to follow me around for a few more weeks. Some of you will—that's too old, too long ago. So this bird is continuing to grow, and it finally gets to the point where we're about 6 weeks into the summer. There's like 2 weeks left of camp, and then I got to go back to Liberty to go to school. I'm like, I don't think Liberty's going to let me in with the bird. What am I going to do? I started getting stressed and worried. Like, I love this bird. What am I going to do if I abandon the bird? You know, it like depends on me for everything. It follows me around. I feed it. I care for it. What am I going to do? It's not even flying yet. Well, the next week it started flying. And I thought, okay, it's going to be sad but good. It needs to fly to go away. The thing would fly and then come back and like land on me. It was amazing, okay? So he's now, Dan's flying everywhere. I have to kind of put him away in the room sometimes. And this one time after leading rec, I came back to the room to check on Dan and couldn't find Dan. I thought maybe a kid let him out. Maybe he got out somehow. Maybe he was hiding under the bed. So I'm looking around and I can't find him. I just got to say it really quick because it's going to make me cry talking about it. Later that day, Dan was found in the toilet. Yeah, I'm going to cry. Okay, so anyway, so Dan didn't make it, okay? But we had a funeral for Dan. It was hard. It was heartbreaking, okay? I even have a picture in my Bible at home. I should have brought it, the picture of me and Dan. But it just gives us a little bit of a glimpse of how God has wired us to love, to be people of love, to love each other, to love the things, to love creation. God wired us that way because He is love. God is love. And as a loving shepherd, He loves us as if we were sheep. He loves us. He cares for us. He holds us close to His heart. Isaiah 40 tells us that. The Lord tends His flock like a shepherd. He gathers us lambs in His arms. He carries us close to His heart. So this morning, I'm going to point out just real quickly three things of how we are like sheep, like lambs, and then we're going to look at three things of what we can learn about Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd. And the first one this morning is just blunt. Sheep are stupid. Okay? They are. They're some of the dumbest animals in all creation. If you think sheep are really this white, fluffy thing, you're wrong. They're filthy. They don't know how to clean themselves. They need somebody to clean them. They need somebody to trim their wool. And they're just filthy. They're stupid. They'll wander off just aimlessly without paying attention, to the point of falling off a cliff even. A shepherd has to be close by. There are times when they'll eat and they'll, if able, they'll keep eating until they kill themselves. Kind of like what we do at buffets, right? They just keep eating. And then, you know, when they do their thing, the other end, they pollute right where they're eating. And if the shepherd isn't there to move them even just 5 feet, they'll keep eating what's there and they'll be like, oh, there's more. And they'll eat that stuff as well. They're stupid. Okay. And sheep, they can walk backwards, but they're stubborn and they don't have a reverse button. And many times sheep will walk and they'll get stuck in between two rocks. And instead of backing up, they'll just keep trying to go forward. Have you ever done that? Gotten yourself into a mess that you know you should back out of, but you're just going forward. It doesn't matter, okay? That's how sheep are, and they need a shepherd, and we are the same way. We need a shepherd. We can be just as stupid at times in our own life. Number two, sheep are fearful. It doesn't take much to scare a sheep. They can hear a clap, and a whole flock will take... Is it a flock? It is. It's also birds, right? Anyway, they'll take off and they'll go running. And if the shepherd isn't there to corral them and bring them all back together, they'll keep running literally off the edge of a mountain if it's there. They'll run into walls, into trees, injuring themselves. They're stupid, okay? And just like us, it doesn't take much to scare them, just like us. Number three, they're vulnerable. They're vulnerable to attack their prey to many animals. Wolves, coyotes, bears, different kinds of animals will come in and easily attack and overpower them. Storms, they don't seek shelter. There's been sheep who have known to die in flash floods because it's just raining and they don't get out of the puddle. They just stay there and eventually, wouldn't they float away? Anyway, so they're vulnerable, okay? Remember we talked about how they eat that grass and they don't move, they eat other stuff. They're vulnerable to parasites and flies and things will lay eggs in their ears and their nose. And I know it's gross, but these eggs will hatch and they'll become the larva will work their way into their sheep's brain, and then they'll start hitting their head against stuff because they're just being messed with. They're vulnerable. They need a good shepherd. And the good news is there is one. God wants to be our shepherd. We are much like sheep in the same way. We're stupid, we're fearful, and the third thing, vulnerable. So what do we see? The bottom line is that we need a shepherd. If sheep left alone won't do well, it's the same with us. All we like sheep have gone astray. We need a shepherd. And God is there to be that good, loving shepherd to us. Let's look at the 23rd Psalm and just see the rich depth of who God is. Number one, the first thing I want us to see this morning is that Jehovah Rohi cares for you with His provision. He is there to give us what we need. Psalm 23:1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, your shepherd. He's there to be our shepherd. I shall not what? I shall not want." The New Living Translation says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need." What I want to be careful here is that I'm not saying that if you come to Jesus and have enough faith, tomorrow you'll have a Ferrari. I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. I'm not saying that if you are good enough, God will help you win the lottery. I'm not saying any of that. What I'm saying is that God is going to give you what you need. God has a mission for each and every one of us, and He's going to give us everything we need to accomplish that mission. He cares for us like a shepherd does. He's there to give us what we need. As human beings, many times we fall into that, what our world is just overcome by is the next latest and greatest thing, material items. But you know what? What happens is once we get one, there's always bound to be something better, something greater. And so we try to fill that empty hole pursuing happiness, and it can never be satisfied in the things of this world. We also try to not only pursue happiness, but many times we try to pursue security or what we think of as security. And I'm not saying these things are bad in and of themselves. There's a lot of wisdom in having some of these things. Getting debt paid off. Starting a savings account, getting enough insurance in place over your house, your car, life insurance, make sure that things are taken care of so that you can retire well. All of these things are good, but not if they become the sole focus and aim of your life. Many times we pursue material and possessions, and we pursue our own security instead of pursuing the things of God. God says, "I will give you everything you need." When David wrote this, there weren't bank accounts, there weren't retirement programs, there weren't insurance companies. David wrote these words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need." God is there to take care of us, to give us what we need. Let's do what we can to help Him to be our shepherd and to put Him first. When we know that God is that good shepherd, there to take care of us, it helps us to put the rest of things in perspective. Philippians 4:19 tells us this, "And my God will meet all of your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus." If you've got a need, a true need, God is here to meet that need. He is here to take care of you as a loving shepherd takes care of his sheep. Number two, Jehovah Rohi will calm you with His peace. How many of you would say in some way, shape, or form right now, you're dealing with something that's a little stressful? Okay, be honest, guys. How many of you are stressed by something right now? How many of you are really stressed, if you're honest? Stress comes in all shapes and sizes, doesn't it? Relationship problems, problems at home with our family, workplace issues. Stress can come in all different flavors, and if we're honest, there are different things that will stress all of us. Psalm 23:2-3 says this, "Jehovah Rohi, the good shepherd, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. His sheep, they won't lay down unless things are perfect. A shepherd has to make sure that the sheep are fed right in order for them to rest. They won't lay down. Sheep will fight and fight over with each other, kind of like us as people. We fight all the time. A shepherd has to break that up, set things at peace, and then they'll rest. If they're not well fed, if they're at all scared, if there's something that they're that isn't right, they won't rest. How many of you are having problems resting right now? Yeah. We need the rest and the peace of God in our life. God is there. He helps the sheep. He makes the sheep lie down in green pastures. Sheep also, they won't drink from moving water. Any little bit of ripples or whatever, it freaks them out. So sheep will die of thirst standing next to a rushing river. They'll never drink. So a shepherd comes down, he finds a place where it's not as moving as much, or he uses staff to kind of re-divert it to create an area where they can drink so that the sheep feel safe enough and secure enough to drink. God wants to step into the rushing rivers of your life and to bring His calm presence and peace so that your soul can be restored. We have a God, a shepherd, who loves us and leads us beside quiet waters. Those of you who are stressed right now and going through circumstances and trials and struggles, Philippians 4:6 says this. It says, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus is there. He says, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. We have a loving God who cares about the things that are stressing you out, about the things in life that aren't quite right. Our God cares. He is a loving God and a present shepherd, and He's here to care for us in times of need. Number three, He's here to comfort us with His presence. Jehovah Rohi brings comfort above anything else. There's nothing that compares. When I look at our small congregation, of a church, I'm surprised at the number of families I know that are dealing with significant issues of pain. The number of families who have lost a loved one, who are no longer with us. The number of families who have dealt with health issues, cancer, and other things that are life-altering. There's a lot going on here. But God says, in the words of Psalm 23:4, He says, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil. I am with you always. David says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I want you to understand today that the two things that most shepherds would carry most of the time would be that big staff. Looks like a big hook, a candy cane type thing. And some would have a 2-foot club type thing, a rod, kind of like a solid wood, like, I don't know, like the end of a nunchuck. Anybody of you guys have nunchucks? That'd be cool. Let me borrow them sometime. Anyway, the rod, the staff. The staff could be used to ward off any attacking animals. It could be used if that sheep is walking to a cliff, reach out real quick and pull them back. And sometimes when the shepherd is just standing there watching over his flock, he could use that staff to, you know, to pet and comfort any sheep near his feet. And in that way of saying, I'm here for you, I care for you, that sheep knows that shepherd's there to protect me, to watch over me. That shepherd knows my name. In that same way, that club thing, that rod could be used. By the age of 12, a lot of young shepherd boys would get skilled with accuracy with throwing this rod, this staff, and an animal approaching could be taken out just with a good throw. The rod, if a sheep was wandering off into the woods, a shepherd could throw it into the woods just past the sheep, and the sheep would startle and run back to the fold. It was a way of helping keep the sheep protected and in a safe place. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy or love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. You see those four L-O-R-D capital? The house of Yahweh, Jehovah, Rohi. I will dwell there in His house forever. Anoint with oil. Many shepherds would actually have this oil that was mixed with sulfur that they would apply to the head and the sensitive parts of a sheep, the ears and the face and around the eyes. And that oil was kind of soothing. It was mixed with sulfur and it would also work kind of as a repellent, keeping parasites and the things that sheep are vulnerable to. It would repel them and keep them away. The Lord anoints our head. He protects us with this oil and this protection over our life. My cup overflows. If you were invited to Mr. and Mrs. Shepherd's house, and they had some of the local shepherd tea, they would pour you some, okay? And as long as your cup was full, you knew you were welcome. You knew you, let's keep visiting. As you would drink the tea, they would refill it, and you knew you could stay longer. But as soon as that cup ran out and there was no more tea being offered, you knew that was time to go. What does the Scripture say about the Lord's house? Cup overflows. It continues to be. God says, you are welcome. You are welcome to be in my house forever. We have the kind of God that wants to be with us forever. My cup overflows and I will dwell in His house forever. Not too long ago, there was a play being casted for auditions. Open auditions were being had. And there was this one famous actor that decided he wanted to be in this play. At the same time, the play, there was a role of a minister in the play. And this actor wanted that role, but there was a local minister who had retired, about 70 years old, and he decided he loved Broadway and loved plays, but because of his career, he never really had a chance. And now that he was retired and the role was a minister, why not try out? So the open tryouts are had, the actors show up, and the retired minister shows up. The time comes to audition for that part. And the script is the 23rd Psalm. And so this actor, this famous actor, gets up and he begins to read the 23rd Psalm flawlessly. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He puts all this emotion and passion into it. And when, once he's done, everybody's like, wow, that was great. He did a perfect job. Eventually, the minister gets up and he's nervous. He's never done this kind of thing before. And he actually stumbles through the beginning of it. And about halfway through, he gets overcome with emotion. And as he's telling the 23rd Psalm, he gets so overcome that by the end of it, all the onlookers, there's not a dry eye in the place. It was so powerfully moving to all present. The next day, the roles are posted, and the retired minister actually ended up getting the position. And a reporter went to the actor and said, you know, how is it that this minister who's never acted before beat you out of this role? And the actor said, you know, I knew the 23rd Psalm, but he knew the shepherd. Question to you this morning is, do you know our shepherd? A lot of us have heard the 23rd Psalm. We could probably recite parts of it from memory, but do you know the shepherd? Do you know the one who loves you? Jesus in John chapter 10. Without mistake, he stood up before the crowds, and he said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Let's pray. You're here this morning, and you've admitted to stressful situations. We all have that kind of stuff going on. the truth is that we're all at times and places in our life where we do stupid things, where things aren't quite the way they should be. Honestly, we all need a shepherd. Jesus said, I am that shepherd. Do you know the shepherd this morning? Do you know him? Not do you know about him, not have you memorized a few verses. Do you know God in that intimate shepherding way that when you are stressed, when you are struggling through life, is God there embracing you and holding you close to his heart? Have you surrendered to him in a way to say, God, I'm sorry I keep going my own way. I'm sorry I keep doing the things I shouldn't do. I come back to you as my shepherd. Comfort me, lead me, protect me, guide me. Be my shepherd. If you're here this morning and you would say, my prayer is to, I need the shepherd in my life. I need his protection. I need his comfort. I need his presence. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? Father God, I pray for each and every person in this room who is raising their hand right now. God, we need you. We need your power. We need your forgiveness. We need your strength. We need your protection. We need your provision. God, there are things going on in our life that we were never meant to deal with on our own. We need you. God, be the good shepherd in our life. Help us to yield to you in our life. Come and be our shepherd. Be our Lord. God, I also pray for those in this room who don't know you in that way. I pray right now that hearts would be open to receive you as Lord and Savior and Shepherd. God, Jesus Christ, you said that as the good shepherd, you laid down your life in our place. When you allowed your life to be taken from you on that cross, when your body was broken and your blood was shed for us to forgive us of our sins and to take our place, God, you took that for us. I pray, God, that for those in this room who have never invited you, accepted your forgiveness, invited your leading of their life, I pray that they would do it right now. In your hearts, call out to him and say, God, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for offering to be my shepherd. Come into my life. Make me yours. Help me to follow you. Help me to turn from the things that I know I should not do. Help me to live for you. Become my Savior. Become my Lord. God, I pray right now that you move in each of our hearts. Help us to see you as Lord. Help us to see ourselves for who we are and our need for you. Help us to be changed and transformed by you. In a moment, as our band leads us, we're going to open up our communion tables. It's a way for us to remember that Jesus, as our shepherd, took our place on the cross. His body was broken. His blood was shed. As we eat a piece of bread, it's a symbol of that body being broken for us. As we dip it in the cup of juice, it's a symbol of the blood that he shed for us. He died and rose again so that we can now live for him. As we eat of this and drink of this, let us do so in remembrance of what he did for us. Take a moment and think about the things we've talked about. If you want to pray, I would love to pray with you up front. We'll have prayer team members around the room wearing a lanyard that says prayer team. We'd love to pray with you. You're not alone. We're here to help you and to walk through life with you. Come forward and let us know. If you gave your heart to Jesus this morning, if you invited him in for the first time to be your shepherd, come let me know. I want to pray with you and celebrate that with you. Most importantly, listen to the Holy Spirit as he leads you now and respond as you feel led.